What about tithing? Disc 1. Tithing in the Torah. Dear First Fruits of Zion, my pastor teaches that we should be tithing our incomes and giving 10% of our income to the church. What does the Torah say? At First Fruits of Zion, we get questions about tithing all the time. Do the biblical laws of tithing apply to us or not? Should we be giving a tithe? It's one of the frequently asked questions we see most often. Tithing is extensively discussed and explained in our Torah Club Volumes 1 and 5, but those discussions are scattered across the Torah Clubs because they are offered as commentary on the specific commandments of tithing as they appear in the Torah. Tithing laws show up all through the Torah. This 4-CD set, titled What About Tithing?, brings all that Torah Club material together into one place and adds a lot of additional information. On the first CD, we will explore the background of tithing from the ancient Near East and the book of Genesis, and then we will take a detailed look at the complex tithing system as it is found in the Torah. On the second CD, we will examine the tithing theme as it appears in the Gospels, the Epistles, the book of Revelation, as well as in early Jewish Christian literature. On the third CD, we will set aside the topic of tithing and discuss the overarching biblical themes of charity and generosity. The last CD is where the rubber meets the road and where we will discuss the practical application of the laws of tithing in our own lives today. But now let's proceed with Disc 1. It may come as a surprise to you to learn that tithing did not originate with the Bible, and neither is it an exclusively Israelite practice. Tithing is widely documented throughout the ancient Near East. The tithes were taken from either property or spoils of war and set aside for sacral use. Although the earliest documents only go back to the 6th century BCE, they obviously date to a much earlier period. The biblical text itself attests the antiquity of tithing in non-Israelite nations, such as in Genesis 47:24, where the Egyptians gave 2/10 of their produce to Pharaoh. We have evidence from what scholars call Syro-Palestine, that's essentially the area that covers southern Israel and Syria, where the practice of tithing dates all the way back to the 16th century BCE. That's 2 centuries before the giving of the Torah. The tithe would not only go to temples, but also to kings who would then distribute them to his officials. This overlap was because the ancient temples were often considered royal temples, as evidenced even by biblical texts such as Amos 7:13, which states, "But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it's the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom." Or even the mention in Genesis 28 of the priest king Melchizedek. These funds were then the king's to use at his discretion. In the 1st century BCE, the Greek historian Diodorus described the annual offerings given by the Carthaginians, the inhabitants of a Phoenician city, to the temple of Melkot in Tyre. Diodorus states in Book 20, Chapter 14, "Since they had come as colonists from that city, it had been their custom in the earlier period to send to the god a tenth of all that was paid in the public revenue." In Ugaritic documents, we also find evidence of tithing on grain and beverages, and in Mesopotamia, of tithes on a wide array of goods such as agricultural crops, animals, cloth, and metal. It also appears that there are cases of the tithe being obligatory and voluntary in the ancient Near East, sometimes even looking more like a tax. From the evidence, the tithes were stored in temples with the temple representatives placed in charge of them. Some of it went towards the upkeep of the temple and attached facilities. Animals would have been used for sacrifices and the agriculture distributed to the priests and such for consumption. We have 2 pre-Mosaic examples of an Israelite giving tithes. The first is with Abraham after he is returning from rescuing his nephew Lot from the hands of the 4 empires that attack Sodom. He meets a mysterious figure named Melchizedek, who accordingly is labeled as both a king in Genesis and a priest in Psalm 110. In Genesis chapter 14, beginning in verse 18, we read, And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything, and from the context we might infer that this is a tenth of the spoils of war. This then is in line with the ancient Near Eastern practices where we find tithes on spoils of war, and that tithes are given to a royal temple, Melchizedek, of course, being a priest king. The Hebrew word here for tithe is ma'aser, which literally means a tenth part. Some commentators, such as Rashi, actually feel that Abraham was fulfilling the commandment of tithing that was later given in the Torah. Yet these commentators are divided as to whether this is a fulfillment of the tithe that was specified just to grain, or this was connected with ma'aser kesefim, a rabbinic offshoot of grain tithes, which is a tithe that is given on all possessions. We'll discuss ma'aser kesefim in more detail on Disc 4. At the very least, I think we can safely say that a biblical principle is established of giving of a 10% tithe in certain circumstances. The tithe here also shows the difference between the greed of the king of Sodom and the generosity of Abraham. Let's continue on in the narrative. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share." We can learn a lot about the character of someone in the Torah by the first words they utter. The first words we hear from the king of Sodom are the short six-word declaration that begins with, "Give me," indicating what we will later learn in the prophets is the character of greed that permeates Sodom. Abraham, on the other hand, gives a tenth of everything, showing us another example of his generous spirit. Therefore, the giving of a tithe is the opposite of the spirit of greed. We see another example of tithing in the story of Jacob, when he has just fled from his brother Esau in Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 to 22. He is alone at night and, after using a stone for a pillow, has a dream about a ladder leading up to heaven. In the dream, Hashem makes promises to him about the blessings of his offspring. When he wakes up, he sets up a pillar and declares, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you." Once again, we find a connection between ancient Near Eastern practices and that of the Torah, in that we have a temple connection with Jacob naming the place Bethel, house of God, in verse 19, and the declaration of tithing. The last line, "I will give a tenth," literally reads from the Hebrew, "Tithe I shall tithe." While Rabbi Hirsch translated this idiomatically as "repeatedly tithe," other rabbinic commentators are convinced that the repetition of the word tithe means that he promised to give a tithe of 20% of all his possessions, which some see as more in line with the grain tithes in the Torah, where a tenth went to the Levites and a tenth to the poor, equaling 20%. Whether this means 10 or 20%, we once again see an Israelite offering to give a tithe or tenth of his possessions. In these two narratives of Abraham and Jacob, the groundwork for the principle of tithing is established in Genesis.